The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on the way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the things I think that's amazing today that I kind of want to reiterate before, well, I shouldn't have walked all the way over here because it's over there. Thanks, Jim. One of the things was our collect today. And one of the things that's amazing about the collect is this is what it says, just to reiterate it. May the venerable exercises of holy devotion shape the hearts of your faithful, O Lord, to welcome worthily the Paschal mystery and proclaim the praises of your salvation. So the venerable exercises of holy devotion shape the hearts of your devotion. One of the things I think is so amazing about that is that it shows that our faith takes work and it takes exercise, just like we would exercise a muscle for it to be able to grow in this world. The same thing is required of our faith, and I think sometimes people think that it should just come easy. You know, we accept the gift and be like, oh, okay, well, that's that, really. For those of you who heard my cousin speak last night at the mission, part of the thing that he mentioned in his vocation story was meeting a Protestant girl, and of course, it was the joy that she had that really was contagious to him. But when she had said, like, he said, like, well, sort of, how does it all work? He's just like, oh, well, you know, You accept Jesus into your heart, and, you know, that's it. There you go. And he was like, that sounds crazy. That was his response, right? He thought it was just like, it certainly must require a little bit more than that. And, of course, it does require a certain amount of cooperation more than that. You know, the venerable hearts of us all have to be exercised. And often through this time period of Lent, what we experience is a suffering, a pushing back from the things that we've gotten comfortable with, because we want to be able to grow. And it's really impossible to grow unless there's stress on us. It's the stress that's on us that allows us to respond and to get stronger and to be able to overcome it in the first place. And so that's a huge part of our life. You notice when Jesus heals the paralytic in this particular case, it's really important that we see that that's conditional, right? You know, he's just like, now, don't sin anymore. you know, or something worse might happen to you, right? He puts him on a path of righteousness, a path that he has to actually exercise virtue in his life. Because if he doesn't exercise virtue, he can fall back into ruin. That's the implication there. And so Jesus tells people that. And don't sin anymore. You know, go forward and actually strive on this path. But, you know, we're people, so we get, like, agitated by the striving, right? Especially the moments that feel like periods of desolation or darkness. But I know many of you that are here, if it were not for a period of desolation and darkness, you might never have relied on the Lord in the first place. You know, that's what happened to my cousin. That's what happened to me. You know, when I arrived here in Portland, I didn't know anybody. I was just here for a job, and I didn't know anybody. And that was exactly what the Lord needed to get my attention. You know, we realize that even those that are not crippled or blind, sometimes he makes us that way so that we can see again, right? Part of my cousin's story is that he's surfing, right? Bargaining with the Lord on the water on his surfboard. Lord, just give me one good wave and I will be happy and satisfied, and I'll go in and we'll just call it good, right? You know, so he's making this bargain. And then he gets kind of a lame wave, takes that wave, wipes out a little bit, and then he just goes over to reach and grab his surfboard, and a wave comes right underneath it, flips his hand backward, and breaks his hand. Now, the two books that he took to read about the faith that he wasn't reading, now he had time to read, right? So the Lord presents an opportunity to us. So those who are ill, he can heal to allow them to see his power. And those of us that are not ill, sometimes he strickens so that we can realize that we need to rely on his power. Sometimes we all need time in the desert. We all need to experience suffering to understand what it's like to grow, to respond to what he's given us, the gift he's given us. The reason I asked Jim to run back and grab this book for me, this book is called Finding Frassati, about Pier Giorgio Frassati. And there's one particular prayer in here that I recently read that I really, really enjoyed, and I just wanted to leave you with this today. So this is called, this is a prayer from St. Augustine, and it's a prayer to seek God continually. And so I pray this for all of us, and including myself today. O Lord, my God, I believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Insofar as I can, insofar as you have given me the power, I have sought you. I became weary and I labored. O Lord, my God, my sole hope, help me to believe and never cease seeking you. Grant that I may always and ardently seek out your countenance. Give me the strength to seek you, for you help me to find you, and you have more and more given me the hope of finding you. Here I am before you with my firmness and my infirmity. Preserve the first and heal the second. Here I am before you with my strength and my ignorance. Where you have opened the door to me, welcome me at the entrance. Where you have closed the door to me, open to my cry. Enable me to remember you, to understand you, and to love you. Amen. God bless you all.